right, look in your Bibles, the book of Proverbs tonight, book of Proverbs chapter 30, and I appreciate again you being here. Thank God for the good songs of Zion that we've heard and sung in this place tonight. Proverbs chapter number 30, and I'll begin reading in verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 30 and beginning in verse number 24 tonight. We'll read a few verses and we're going to pray, try to preach as the Lord would direct our hearts tonight. And I thank God for His word, for our time together, and open the blessed old book together. Amen. And I will say this, and I stress it, and I'm going to keep on stressing it. Every service is a good service. And this book is opened, amen, because this is why we're here, amen. We're here to hear from God in His word tonight and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I appreciate you gathering for that purpose. Now, if you come for another reason, I hope that'll change before you get out of here tonight, amen. There is help in the Lord. And I'm glad that I know Him and He knows me tonight. Proverbs chapter 30, beginning in verse number 24. The Bible said, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in kings' palaces. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, tonight for your mercy and for your grace. Thank you for the reading of the word of God tonight. I pray now for just a little while. Give me a traveling mind through the scripture. Help us all to be receptive for the preaching of the word of God. I pray, Lord, you forgive me of all my sin. Don't want nothing in my heart that would grieve or quench. Have the Holy Ghost. Anything that would be in this service that would distract or hinder. I beg you, Lord, to remove it tonight. Help us that we would draw from the word of God. May we do more for you than ever before. And Lord, may you be glorified in all we say and do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want you to look back at verse 24 tonight, where the Bible said, there be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. Now, I'm going to preach God helping me just a few minutes on this subject of big lessons from little things. Big lessons from little things. We find the writer of Proverbs is using insects and animals in these verses. And someone said, preacher, why would he do such a thing? Well, remember this, as you study in the four gospels, as Jesus was teaching and preaching over and over again, he used nature, he used the planets, he used rocks, he used birds, he used flowers, he used a lot of natural things to relate spiritual truth. It kind of helped drive it home to the heart. Well, that's what the writer of Proverbs is doing here. He has taken four things that seem insignificant, that seem very small, and I promise you, there are some very big lessons that you and I, saved by grace, I can learn and grow in right here tonight. Now, let me say this as we look at these four things. I pray God to help us to receive from the word tonight. First of all, in verse 25, the ants that are mentioned there, I speak of preparation. Look at the verse. The ants are people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. He is teaching us to a tiny insect of being prepared. Now, I want to throw this out and keep this in mind as we go through these verses. These first two, the illustration God gives, I believe can relate to a lost man and a saved man. Sure do. The last two, I believe, mostly is a lesson to folk who are saved by the grace of God. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Well, with these ants speaking of preparation, can I say this about sinners? They better prepare to meet God. There is an eternity out there. There is a judgment day coming. And friend, we must be prepared. And you get prepared by getting saved by the grace of God. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you are unprepared. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus told the Pharisees and Sadducees, and by the way, he is pretty plain to them. In Matthew 3 and verse 7, he told them, you better flee the wrath to come. Now, there's a generation has arisen in our day in the church world that won't preach judgment preaching. They say, well, God's love and he'll just let everybody go to heaven. No, he's not going to do that. He is a God of holiness, and the only way you get to heaven or I get to heaven is by being saved by the grace of God. You got to be prepared. We find that Amos said in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. Can I remind you of something? God is the creator of all. Amen. And everyone is going to face the creator one day. That's right. It's going to be at a throne of judgment. You realize that? Now, while we're here saved, we're going to a throne of grace. Amen. But I remind us, they're saved now. When we first leave this world in the rapture, the next place we're going is the bema seat, the judgment seat of the believer. There's judgment ahead for us, not for our sins, but our works. My sin, your sin was judged at Calvary when God poured his wrath out on his son, because his son became your sin and became my sin. Amen. There's judgment, and sinner, there's a judgment day coming. Whether you're here in this auditorium or watching by internet tonight, you better prepare to meet God. I'm alarmed. I'm concerned of our day, of how many lost church members there are in this old world. I'm concerned how many is lost on our church pews. They're more lost than you won't admit. Because I'll tell you something, look up here just a minute. When I got saved, it changed my life. I've not wanted to be malicious toward anybody. I have changed my loves and the things I don't love. Amen. I've never attacked the church. I never attacked my preacher. Amen. Why? I got saved. Oh, yeah. I'm concerned. You just keep on doing and keep on doing. You worry me. Amen. We got a lot that just come on Sunday morning. They worry me. Amen, because I don't say this, and I'm not being mean, and you know this, and I'm going to move on because I'm preaching the internet crowd and everybody else too right now. Well, I'm preaching on being prepared, as sinners get prepared. Because you hear me, if what somebody calls salvation can't get them faith with the church, they better worry about it getting them to heaven. I'm telling you again, since that Tuesday night I got saved, I have been in love with the local church ever since then. Amen. I have a desire every time the doors are up to be at the house of God. I'm not coming to church to be saved. I'm not coming to church so I can go to heaven. Oh, yeah. I'm coming to church because I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Amen. Hey, there's just something about being saved calls you to love the things of God and the house of God. I'm just saying to those that are lost, you better prepare to meet God. Hebrews 9:27 is telling the Bible, it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Amen. So the sinner better prepare to meet God. But we're also taught as saved folk to be prepared. Now, I'm prepared to meet God, I'm saved, yes. But there's other things we got to prepare for. Let me just throw three out at you real quickly. Number one, we need to be prepared for spiritual warfare. What we're doing is not something just to take up time. And this battle is not a figment of the imagination. It's not trivial. It's not fake. There is a real spiritual battle that you face and I face on a daily basis. And I'm going to say this. This ought not discourage you. It ought to help you. The closer you get to God, the more intensified that spiritual warfare will be. Because you see, when you're doing nothing, the devil could care less. But when you begin getting closer to God, he knows you're becoming a major threat. Because you're going to be telling somebody outside the four walls about Jesus, and you're going to live right and do right, and he knows that. So when you get closer to God, then the spiritual warfare increases. You better be prepared. Number one, you better be in that Bible every day. You better be in that prayer place. You better put on the whole armor of God on a daily basis. Hey, prepare. Hey, it's coming. We're in a spiritual war. Be prepared for spiritual warfare. Also, let me say, prepare for spiritual winter time. It's coming. Now, I want all of you look, especially you younger Christians, just a minute. I wished that you'd be on the mountain your whole Christian life. I wish you could shout, because we get taught, say, boy, I prayed that I felt God so strong, and we come to church, boy, God was so strong in the service, and oh, hallelujah, and we describe it in a lot of different ways. Some say the hair on my arm stood up, and somebody else said I felt something down in my heart, and we describe it in different manner. But I want to tell you something, that ain't going to happen all the time. And everybody listen to me. And again, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to help you be prepared. If you run on your feelings, if you're one of those Christians that think the only time God's working is when you're feeling something, I'm going to promise you this. Okay? Hear me well. God's going to put you in a box sometime, and you're going to be there for a good long while feeling nothing. He did it to me. As a young preacher running on my feelings all the time, God finally had to box me in and said, you're going to learn to trust me and live for me because who I am and not what you're feeling. Amen. Are you hearing me real good right there? Because son and daughters, I promise you this, the winter time is coming your way. They're going to be that springtime, summertime, boy, and you're talking about the joy bells ringing. You've got a song in your heart. Man, every prayer you pray, God seems like it gets answered immediately. You go to church, you're excited about church. But hey, there are going to be them other times too. Are you just a fair weather Christian? You better prepare for wintertime. You see, I've had to reach back in them times I wasn't feeling nothing and say, boy, God, you done it before, and I'm believing you're going to take care of me, and you'll do it again. Amen. You got to learn, young folk, you've got to learn that. You've got to learn. Hey, it ain't always going to be feeling good. There are days ain't nothing goes right. Amen. Days you want to cover your head up and not get out of the bed. Amen. Oh, yeah, that's some winter time that comes in your life. But you know what? God's God then, just like he was when you was a feeling something. Amen. Hey, when the church is sitting down quiet and ain't a whole lot happening, he's God then, and he's God when we're jumping and hollering and shouting. He's God. Amen. Hey, you better prepare for spiritual warfare. You better prepare for spiritual winter time. You better prepare for spiritual wounds. You're going to get wounded. I wish I'd tell you what, but you're going to. Somewhere in your Christian journey, somebody going to hurt you. You're going to get hurt. Man, I've been hurt more than one time. Hey, people, act like preachers ain't never been hurt. They won't tell you how they're hurt. Man, y'all a pastor of Baptist church a while. Hey, man, when you go the extra mile helping somebody, and they're the very ones that about every time turn around and gut you. It happens. You say, preacher, how do you keep going? I've just had to learn. Be prepared. You just go on anyhow. Whether they love you or whether they hate you, you're serving God. You ain't serving man. Right. Amen. I'm preaching because I love God and I love you, but I'm telling you, number one, I love the Lord. That's why I keep on doing it. Because everybody ain't always going to love you. They're not going to. You're going to get what you better be prepared for. It's going to happen. And you just got to learn to get back up and keep on going. So the ants speak of preparation. Then in verse 26, the conies there, they speak of habitation. What do you mean, preacher? Look at the verse, verse 26. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. They have a place they dwell safely. They have a place that's high. There's a place that is solid. It is a place of protection. Now, I want to say to sinners just a minute, you have no hiding place. You ain't got nothing. You say, I got a big family, I got a bunch of friends. You may, but there's going to be some time in your life they're not going to be able to help you. Amen. You have no hiding place, sinner. Hey, let me share this with you. Again, to flee that wrath that comes, what he told those Pharisees and the Sadducees, I want you to look over Revelation chapter 6 just a minute with me. I want to show you sinners that they've got no hiding place. Now, in Revelation 1, we got an introduction to this book, chapter 2, chapter 3. We see seven churches. They were literal churches in John's day. Then they also are a prophetic view of the whole church age. Then they have prophetic message even on further than that. Well, in chapter 4, chapter 5 of Revelation, the church, as John is being the picture of, is called up to heaven. John's a type of the church being called up by that door open in heaven and saying, come up hither. And the church, hear me now, the church, those of us that are saved, are not found again till Revelation 19. We're gone. We're in heaven. We're in chapter 5 singing the new song, shouting the victory. Amen. Laying crowns at his feet. But when chapter 6 through the first part of 19, we're dealing with the tribulation period. There's days coming on this world they have never known before. Amen. Now chapter 6, I believe, gives an overall view of the whole time of the tribulation. Now I believe that. But I believe there's a time, and I'm going to read it right here, in the tribulation period, Revelation 6, beginning in verse 12. Look at this. And listen to what John's saying as he's writing here. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven depart as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth. Now listen close to what verse 15 says. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? They're going to look for a place to hide, and there's no place to hide. If you're lost here tonight and you don't get saved, Jesus come the next 60 seconds, you're going to experience that right there. Amen. I'm not glad to tell you that, but I need to tell you that to warn you. Amen. You don't want to be left behind. This whole world's going in some tribulation days like no man's ever dreamed up before. That's right. Hey, we find no hiding place for the sinner. But let me say that to us that are saved, we do have a hiding place. Thank God for our hiding place. Amen. You see, I got dwelling today, got thinking of, matter of fact, last couple of days, been meditating on this. The psalmist said in Psalm 40 and verse 1 and 2, he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He said in Psalm 61 and verse 1 and 2, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer from the end of the earth while I cry unto thee. Listen to this. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hey, we that are saved, there are days of trouble, but thank God there is a place we can run to. There is a place that we can hide in the midst of all the storms of this life. Oh, friend, the Lord told Moses there in Exodus 33 and verse 21, and the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Hey, Christ is that rock, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Hey, he is the rock of ages. We have a habitation. We have a place that we can abide in the midst of the storms tonight. Oh, friend, learn to run to him. When your heart's overwhelmed, begin to cry out, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hey, I'm feeling something down my heart tonight. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, that we have a place that we can hide in the midst of all the storms. Oh, friend, those ants speak of preparation. The coney speaks of habitation. Verse 27, thirdly, the locusts speak of cooperation. Look at verse 27. The Bible says, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. Cooperation. They work together. They have unity. I thought about this over the book of Mark in chapter 2. There was a man that's on a bed with the palsy, and there's four individuals go, and the Bible said they came unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. They had unity. They worked together to bring somebody that needed help to Christ. Hey, can I say something? Hear me tonight. Without unity, the work stops. That's right. We're not one another's enemy. Don't you ever treat a brother as an enemy. He is not your enemy. He is your brother. We ain't all going to see eye to eye on everything. But I'm going to tell you what we do see eye to eye on: this book. At least you better. Amen. Well, I'm telling you what, I stand on this book. That's right. Hey, and we're to work in unity together. Hey, I'm preaching the right crowd right here. Wednesday night's the backbone of the church. Amen. Hey, you've got a heart for the church. You've got a heart for God. That's why you're here. Amen. He wants me to remind you, there needs to be unity. Keep unity. We lose unity, we're going down. Amen. Hey, can I say this? Let me say three things about unity real quick. Unity, number one, is pleasant. Yes, sir. For the Bible said in the book of Psalm 133 and verse 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's pleasant. It's pleasant for you, and it's pleasant in the eyes of God. Amen. Unity. That's what we got. Hey, that takes work, by the way. Because see, not only is unity pleasant, let me say, unity should be pursued. We ought to be striving for it. I don't preach anything to divide. That ain't ever been my intent. But my purpose of preaching is to declare what God said. And we're to unite around what God said. Let me read you some verses tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse number 10. The Bible said that, listen closely what Paul's saying to the church at Corinth. He said, I beseech you, brethren. All right, that singles it all out right there. He ain't talking lost people, period. He said, brethren, you that are saved. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Hey, he's talking about unity. What about over there in the book of Philippians? Philippians chapter 1 and the latter part of verse 27 says this. Listen, he's talking about unity, being cooperating together in the word. Listen, he said that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Hey, the locust teaches us cooperation. We're in this thing together. I can't do it by myself, and you can't do it by yourself. But when we pull together, we all get her corner. She runs well. Amen. Now, I won't say that I ain't been mean ugly to you, but you hear me. If all you ever do is criticize and murmur and complain, hey, something wrong. People that always like that, they make me nervous. They ain't never got nothing good to say about church. That bothers me. It worries me. Well, I'm going to tell you something. We need to pull up. Because here's one thing I've learned. When I look at something, I don't particularly like, first thing I think, what can I do to help it be better? I mean, even when I pray, I ain't saying God change them. That ain't my first goal. My first goal is, Lord, you change me, and then Lord, help me in helping them. Amen. It's just like tennis goes up and down. You get people worried about tennis being down, and they complain about it. Well, here's what I'm going to ask you. Who'd you bring to church lately? That solves the tennis going down if you bring somebody with you. I didn't take a rocket scientist, did it, brother? Amen. Hey, no brainer. You want a big crowd, bring somebody with you. Most probably both folks just want to sit back and loaf and let everybody else do something. That's true. We all have to work together. We've all got a part in this thing. We all need to carry our corners, those four did, getting that man with the palsy to Jesus. Amen. Hey, they pursued that unity. Hey, we must, let me say this also, and you listen to this, this may sound a little odd, but hang with me with it now, and I believe you're going to see this. Not only that, but let me say, unity is a picture. You say, preacher, what is unity? Picture, the body of Christ. Look in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just a minute. I'm about done. We'll be out here before they get out of Master's Club. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I just ain't preaching a while, and I got a whole lot of preaching I'm wanting to do. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Listen to this. He said, for as the body is what? One. Ain't but one body of Christ. Ain't a Baptist body and a Methodist body and a Church of God body. There is the body of Christ. Saved folk make up that body. Amen. For as the body is one, hath many members. We all are making it up. And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. We're together. Now you're going to have to get used to some folk. And now we're going to have a glorified body one day, and that's going to help you a lot more. But you better get used to some folk. Because if they're saved and you're saved, you're going to the same heaven. Heaven ain't going to be sectioned off. My click over here, you'll click over yonder. Right? We're one body. We go on in this same chapter. I want to preach out of this chapter sometime. Everybody is put in their place by the Lord. I didn't choose this place where I'm as a pastor. No. I didn't even look to get called to preach when I got saved. This is where he placed me in the body. But he goes on to let you know there ain't one piece of this body less than another piece. Nobody's more important. No big I's and little U's in the body of Christ. Grounds level. Amen. We all have our place. You know what helps us do good and to have unity? Be in your place. Don't be in nobody else. Be in your place. Find your place. Get in it. Amen. God's got something for all of us to do. Hey, there's folk come here every time the door's open. They don't testify, but they know they're there. They pray and they'll speak a kind word to you and you shake hands with them. Thank God for them. I like them as much as I like the folk that shout. I like it all. Amen. Somebody said they're different. So are you. So am I. We odd. Every one of us. Amen. Well, we need to pursue unity because unity is a picture of the body of Christ. I want us to be used of God, don't you? We learn by the locust cooperating. Well, number four, verse 28, the spider speaks a continuation. Look at this verse. The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. A spider. Now, all folk here don't like them. I ain't thrilled with them. But they don't scare me like it does something. A snake will hurt me and you both. Amen. You say, how do you handle it? Would you handle a snake? Sure will. With a hoe. Amen. And we'll pick up serpents when they're dead. Amen. But some folk, a spider hurt you and hurt them both. That's right. Little. But why does he speak of a spider here? Somebody says, that's odd. Well, think about something a minute. They continue in their work. You can go in your house and find a spider web or down at the barn or out the work shed, whatever. And you keep finding, and some spiders are bigger, so their webs are bigger. And you go and you tear down the web. Well, if you go back tomorrow, what you going to find? Going to be another web right there. Why? Because that spider ain't gave up. They speak a continuation. You keep going. You don't quit because somebody tears your web up. Are we getting it tonight? Amen. Just because it tears your web up, what do you do, preacher? You go spin another one. Can I say something about this web spinning business a minute? These spiders ain't Spider-Man. Well, that spider shooter thing, no. That spider takes it a while to get that web spun. It don't happen just one split second time. It works and it works and it works and it works and it works. Has to be patient in the web business. Amen. Patient. Not only are they patient in the work, but they're persistent because when you tear it down, they go back and spin another one. The only way the web quits is if you kill a spider. You say, preacher, what does that mean? That means you keep working until you're dead. Amen. Just plain preaching tonight. You ain't got to need a dictionary and you leave here tonight. Amen. Continuing. We need to keep going and working and laboring till Jesus comes. The little things, but what big lessons we've seen in these verses here tonight. Preacher, why do you preach this conference? Because this is practical Christian living preaching. You're going to find Sunday night and Wednesday night, that's the kind I do. Sunday morning's a lot of evangelistic type preaching. A lot of hard preaching goes on Sunday morning. But Wednesday night, you're going to find a whole lot of practical living is what I'm preaching on from this book. That's what you need to get you here from here to Sunday. Amen. We need to know that ants, preparation, that coney's habitation, that locust, hey, they're cooperate, that spider, that's continuation. Let us learn these lessons from this passage of Scripture to help us grow as a Christian. Father, take the message tonight, use it for thy glory. I've tried my best to preach what you told me to preach. And Lord, I thank you for the attention of your people. Lord, how they have listened and they have, Lord, responded, and I praise you for it. Lord, help us now in this invitation time. Help us to be more conformed to the image of Christ. And all you do, we'll praise you and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed just a moment. I wonder if there's someone here tonight would say, preacher, I'm lost. I don't know Christ as Lord and Savior. But I would like to be remembered in prayer tonight, and you'd lift a hand, preacher. That's me. I'm lost. I've preached a whole lot to us that are saved tonight from the Word of God. And God might have spoke to your heart, and by lifting your hand, you say, preacher, God spoke to me tonight in the Scripture. Remember, amen. Preacher, remember, amen. Amen. God spoke to me tonight, preacher. Man, there are some big lessons and little things right there in the Scripture tonight. Greater things can be done here at Gateway if we just pull together and keep doing like we've been doing, loving one another and serving the Lord together. We can't go in a half a dozen different directions and do anything for God. I want us to stand. We're going to sing an invitation. If you need to come, come. If nobody don't come, I still preach what the Lord told me to. I hope you go home and chew on it a while. Because it'll do to chew on again while we sing.